I could not choose a text that more people are familiar with than the one I have chosen today. Daniel chapter 6. Early on in Sunday school, children learn about the faithfulness of Daniel, and the theme of Daniel in the lion's den is one that they have heard before. However, I'm going to look at this once again because there are several things in it that not merely children need to learn, but adults need to learn also. Learn from the heart. Every believer, regardless of his age or circumstances, has the responsibility of being faithful to God. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a solemn responsibility to be faithful to Him. In the midst of a wicked world that does not care for Him and would like to take you away from allegiance to Him, and if you won't move, is quick to spring tricks and sometimes very dangerous traps on the believer. And this chapter certainly discusses all of that. You know the context. Daniel serving as a Jew in the court of Babylon. The kingdom that he's in is a godless kingdom as far as he is concerned. But unfortunately, it had an awful lot of gods, false gods, idols, and it was a grievous burden upon his heart. But here he was, an important man in the government, under scrutiny by his colleagues, and living in the fear of God. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and that the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now, here is the opportunity that a godly man has to serve his country as well as his God. Daniel plainly had great abilities. He was, of course, from the royal family in Judah, so he knew about rulership. He was well trained, so he had behind him skills in rulership. He had also a very determined dedication to the Lord, and so he was faithful. And people soon found out that he kept his word. He did what he was supposed to. He served from the heart. And that, of course, caught everyone's attention. And so this Daniel is preferred above others. Now, in the world, that creates resentment. In a worldly situation, to see a Christian promoted, given prestigious responsibility, creates in the unbelievers around him venom, jealousy. They want that preferment. They want that position. And here it's given to someone that they dislike because he's too religious. Well, that's not a situation that is foreign to our world today. It's very much alive and well in the business world. But Daniel faced it very clearly. God was supreme in his life. There was absolutely no negotiation on that point. He was also a very fine ruler. He was a person who had in his heart the sense of responsibility to God, to his country, to others. And so he was a good man for the position that he was in. But he was in a position of grave danger. In verse 4, the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." All right, now here's a specific malign plan. They would like to get him in trouble. They would like to get rid of him so that they could replace him in the king's favor. However, he was a very dependable, responsible person. He was not careless. He was not given to making mistakes. And how do you trip up somebody like that? Well, his religion. And his religion, he was stubborn. He wouldn't change. And so, let's lay an ambush. Now, this is precisely what they're doing. This is a trick. It's one that is unfortunately still used against Christians in business situations, sometimes governmental situations, where those about him decide that they can get him in trouble and profit from his downfall. And this is precisely what is plotted against Daniel. Now, in verse 6, these presidents and princes assembled together and said to him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and princes and counselors and captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute, to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree, sign the writing that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Well, he was flattered. Now, this is great. This is an accolade he had not expected. To think that they would put him in a position of such prestige, that he would be the one to answer everybody's petition, even divine petitions, that puffed him up even more. No, he was not a believer in the true God. He was a pagan. And so he worshipped a small god. And so here he is, assuming arrogantly divine powers as well as governmental powers. And for 30 days, he would be on top of the world. Now, in verse 10, when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went into his house, his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. All right, here is Daniel. Here is the power of this man. A trap has been sprung deliberately to get him in trouble, deliberately to ruin his position. And it doesn't change his relationship with God at all. He's a man of prayer. He still is. He's a man who is prepared to exercise his religion in the full sight of everyone. And he does. Knowing full well the consequences. Now, friends, no matter what your position in this life, you have to admire a man of that kind of courage and that kind of dedication. He's an individual who can't be corrupted. He serves God. He's going to continue, and nothing is going to turn him aside. Now, in verse 11, these men assembled and found Daniel praying, making supplication before his God. All right, they get the evidence. They have witnesses. They see exactly what's going on. They can testify against him. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king, "That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. And whoops, the king remembers something. Yes, Daniel, that faithful servant, that individual who is always dependable. He was a Jew, wasn't he? And he does worship a different God, doesn't he? Now, the king wasn't thinking about these things. He was not part of the trap. He was flattered that people would come and make such a marvelous petition for him, boosting his ego. And he was kind of enthusiastic about that. Never crossed his mind that there was a very dependable member of his court that would not, and in his mind could not, obey that decree. In verse 14, then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. He hadn't intended this. That was not his purpose at all. He got foxed into it. He set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said to the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree or statute which the king establisheth may be changed. All right, he's caught. The law can't be altered, and he made it. There's no way out. Now, that was a sad situation for him, because he obviously appreciated Daniel, his most faithful counselor, one that he depended upon, and here he is the unwitting means of his execution. In verse 16, the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now, that is a formal execution. The den of lions was a sizable pit area, and there were some pretty good-sized lions there. For most of us, lions are not something that we're afraid of. I can remember as a little child in Chicago being taken to the Brookfield Zoo. That was one of the grand holidays of my life. To come to that zoo, and here as we near the zoo, you could hear the lions roaring. We usually came about 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, which was feeding time. And so as we parked the car in the lot, you know, and walked across the parking area, you could hear those lions roaring. Here we were, half a mile away. It was like we were right alongside of them. Tremendous voices on those animals. And I'd come inside and look at that lion cage. The lions were unbelievably long. They were huge beasts in there. The big males walking around with those manes, roaring so that the whole building shuddered. I thought, wow, that's not somebody I wanted to meet. Behind the bars, that's great, but I didn't want to get too close to that. That was something that stuck in my memory for all these years. So yes, a lion is a formidable animal with a great appetite. And you put something in there. Well, I watched what happened. They'd stick a piece of meat in there that looked to me like half a cow, you know. And that big lion would pounce on that thing and just crunch the thing and just tear off big pieces of it and it disappeared, you know. Boy, that was impressive. Well, they're like that. That's right. And so here's Daniel now. And he's going to be thrown to these hungry beasts. More than one in there. And it looks absolutely hopeless. In verse 16, the king commanded, they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said to Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Well, there's a guilty conscience. Here's a king who has betrayed his most dependable counselor and put him in a place of execution. And he alone is responsible for that. The tricksters that were about him, they got their way. And there was nothing legally he could do about it. He couldn't sleep. He couldn't eat. Obviously, he was crushed at the thought that he had betrayed a true follower and helper. In verse 19, "Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice to Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" It was a hopeless question on his part. But he has to voice it because of his concern for a faithful servant that he had betrayed. And out of that den of lions comes a voice. Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. Now here is a faithful prophet doing the will of the Lord, serving to the best of his ability in a difficult position where he is a royal slave, in effect, in the government of the pagan nation. And he is trying to serve his God to the best of his ability in the midst of very trying circumstances. And he has kept his conscience. He has not betrayed a thing. And here, in the midst of the worst possible circumstances, he finds that God is there. Now, friends, that's something that we've got to remember. When we face hardship, betrayal, persecution, whatever it may be, it's easy for us to panic, to throw up our hands and say, oh, all is lost. Well, it never is. Because in times of emergency, in times of trial, that's the time that God shows himself strong. It should be a time that we count on. If our needs are great, our God is great. But we tend to worry. And we tend to think of, well, how can I weasel out of this? But a lot of times there's no room. It is either God or disaster. And that's what Daniel faced. It was sure and violent death, or God and his protection. Now, friends, the times have changed, but the principle of dedication has not. In the life of Daniel, God was the most important thing in his life. It wasn't his political position. He could give that up. It wasn't even his life. He was prepared to lay that down too. But giving up the worship of God was not an option. Friends, we must recognize that that kind of devotion, that kind of heartfelt zeal to be on God's side of every issue, that is still the responsibility of every believer. Daniel is not alone in his dedication. The saints and martyrs of the ages shared that faith. And we in our generation must be prepared as well. No one knows the future. No one knows how religious persecution may arise in our own land. There's plenty of discrimination, but it may become much more violent. The devil is tricky, and he can turn things about to put pressure on God's people. Don't be surprised when it happens. But our God has never changed. He has said that He will be with us in trouble. There He is with Daniel, right in the midst of the problem, right there where the persecution was most intense. God was there. We must remember that for ourselves. God is with us, especially when the trouble comes. And we've got to be quick to ask Him for help and strength and dedication. Daniel did, and Daniel stood. Now in verse 24, there's repercussions. The king commanded, and they brought those men that had accused Daniel. They cast them into the den of lions, them and their children and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces or ever they came at the bottom of the den. They were hungry. It wasn't just they didn't want to eat. They were afraid. Daniel was not alone. But when the others were cast in, there was no such protection. And they were food. Now, this example is in the Bible for a very definite reason. It is not here to make a wonderful children's story. It is here because all of us, at some time or other, may face persecution, discrimination, hardship because of our faith. And we must be ready ahead of time. If we are Christians only because things are pleasant for us that way, we are not true Christians. A true Christian is one who is committed to Christ, no matter what. Whether it is an easy time or whether it is a very difficult time, he's a Christian because Christ is his Lord and he is serving a God who loves him and will never desert him. And that fixed position must be there for everyone, because the enemy will always try to arrange snares, traps, unexpected things, where all of a sudden the alternative looks bleak. The temptation to back off and betray the faith is very strong. Remember, that is never an accident. Is always a deliberate attack. Deliberately to destroy the Christian's testimony and faith. Friends, we must be ready when the test comes. The grace is always with us. Daniel was not deserted. He knew exactly what he was doing. And we must have that faith as well. Whatever happens, God is there. God's will is supreme, and we stand for Him and take the consequences. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for He is the living God, steadfast forever, and His kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and His dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. My, what a decree. Here's a king admitting in public that Daniel's God is a marvelous God of tremendous power. He is the living God. My, what does that tell you about his perception here? A good bit. All the idols standing around there were dead as a doornail. But here is the living God, one who can do something right here in the midst of the nasty now, and none of the others can do it. That was considerable perception. And so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, and in the reign of Cyrus the Great that was following. Here is a man devoted to God. He wanted God's will above everything. If it meant death, he wanted God's will. If it meant the loss of all his political responsibility, he wanted God. He had settled it before God. Friends, that's a good thing for every last one of us to do, to settle the matter of devotion before God. God is the Lord. That means he is the Lord of me. He is worthy of service, and therefore my life shall be service for him. And it's settled. Not to be reconsidered, not to be reopened. It is a dedication that shall last for all eternity. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In this quiet moment, have you made such a commitment to God? Have you put yourself into the hands of God, whatever that means, to serve him, to worship him, to be his forever? And no persecution, no royal edict, or anything else is going to change that dedication. If you have not done that, this would be a very good time to do that in your heart, to put yourself on the altar and say, Lord, here am I. Use me. I will serve thee forever. O Lord, help us by thy grace that we may consecrate ourselves to thee and live lives of testimony for thee and serve thee from the heart in good times and in bad times. And we ask that thou wilt help us, Lord, with sustaining grace that we may serve thee well. For Jesus' sake. Amen.